right, well, let's take a look in God's Word this morning and see what we have coming for us. Again, last week we started a two-part series entitled The One Another Teachings of Scripture, and I opened with just a couple thoughts for us to think about, and I'm going to briefly remind us of what the previous One Another commands were and move into today's message. But too often people have a lot to say about what is wrong with Christianity and the church. Today, as we did last week, we want to look at what is right with the church. I mean, so many people want to pick on the church, pick on Christ, when in reality Jesus died for the lost that they may come to know Him and be saved. We are here to bring encouragement and the truth of God's Word, which should be encouraging to each and every one of us, as well as to the lost that they will hear what Christ has to say. The one another principles, there's 22 of them in Scripture that I personally have pulled out. There may be more. And we also realize that these principles are to guide us in life, to be able to live for Him, for the glory of His name. What I will not do in this message today, as last week as well, I'm not going to tell you these 22 principles, how you should live to make everybody else's life better. I'm going to tell you how the church together should live according to these principles. And if you are in a body of believers that live according to these principles, life in Christ is good.
Amen.
Because the body is caring one for another. Yes. And this leads us, last week we looked at the first 11, and they were: be devoted to one another, live in harmony with one another, accept one another, instruct one another, use your gifts for one another, share with one another, greet one another, serve one another, carry one another's burdens, be kind to one another, and forgive one another. Those were the ones we looked at last week. Today we're going to take a look at another 11, and we have a few illustrations that I'll throw in this morning. But before we do that, bow with me for a word of prayer. Father, again, we come before You recognizing that You are here in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. I ask, Lord, that You would anoint each and every one of us, fill us with Your Spirit. Open our eyes that we may see, our ears that we may hear, our hearts that we may understand. Conform us to Your will. Father, I pray for myself as I come into Your pulpit this morning. I ask, Lord, that You would empty me of myself, fill me with Your Spirit, that it would not be my words but Your words. I ask this for Your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. The first one we see today is look to the interest of others. And we find this one in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. The Word of God says the following: do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Now, it's interesting in that text, he does say and include that we should be looking out for our own interests. He's not saying totally ignore your life and let it fall apart, but he's saying don't be so consumed with your problems, with your life, that you forget that you're a part of a bigger body, that we belong one to another because we are in Christ. He literally means to be focused on meeting the needs of others, that we as a body need to know what's going on in one another's lives. When we take time on Sunday morning and in other meetings to receive praises and prayer requests, this is not a small thing. It's not an unimportant thing. It's a time that we may encourage one another by what God has been doing in our lives, as well as letting our brothers and sisters know what our needs are and how we can pray for each other, and even step up to the plate, if you will, and meet physical needs, emotional needs, needs that we are capable of meeting through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We belong as part of the body to each other. We need to be concerned about what's going on in the other person's life. We live in a society that has always been, but especially since the 80s, in my lifetime anyway, where it has become so me-focused that everything is about me. And for me, people disagree with this, but I can remember a commercial by a particular hamburger company that always said, "You deserve a break today. It's all about us and how things should happen for us." When in the real joy in Christ, and I say this from experience, the real joy in Christ comes by serving others.
Amen.
We are blessed when we serve others and help them. So we see in this picture that there's a need for us to be reaching out. There's a circle of love being demonstrated here, giving and receiving. I want to be a part of a body. I want NLCC to be a body of believers that literally meets the needs of each other without having to ask and ask and ask. But the need is known and people are there. They help because that's what we do. That's what Jesus did. He met the needs of others. That's what we need to be focused on, other people's lives. Taking care of our own needs, but also letting our brothers and sisters help us. The second one we see this morning is bear with one another. Please feel free to come in and have a seat. Join us. There's bulletins on the table back there if you'd like to grab one. The outline of the message is found in there, and so feel free. Glad you're here with us this morning. The next one is number 13. If you'll turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, we will see this particular principle laid out for us. It says the following. Verse 13 says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. He says to bear with one another. You know, it's interesting in our life. Again, we belong one to another in Christ. We need to be devoted to each other, caring for each other. Where it says bear with one another, it's telling us something. There are going to be times that I irritate you. And you me. But we need to learn to bear with each other. These are small things. Do you love Jesus this morning?
Yes.
Do you want to serve Him?
Yes.
Do you want to see people come to Christ?
Yes.
Do you want hearts to be changed? We need to make sure that we're focused on the majors and don't let the minors divide us.
Amen.
Don't let the things that are little quirks that are different about some of us than others keep us from being able to fellowship with each other and serve the same King, because there is but one who, only one King. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
And He is who we serve. So we need to be willing to bear with one another. If you will, turn to Matthew chapter 17. And you'll see Jesus make a comment in this particular passage that I think kind of puts a light on this whole subject. Chapter 17, verse 17. Jesus speaking here says the following. O unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. This long suffering of Jesus is what we must have one with another. Being able to live together in harmony, not focused on the things that don't matter. I mean, I can look out in the congregation this morning and we are dressed all kind of differently. And I don't mean this to be disrespectful to any. Some are in t-shirts, some are in coat and tie. In the bigger scope of things, does that really matter? To the individual, yes. To God, He's glad you're here.
Amen.
He wants your heart. Amen?
Amen?
Whether a place is big or small is not the issue. Jesus wants us. The third one this morning, number 14. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. We're looking at the love one another principle. This is an important principle. Loving one another isn't as simple as the command makes it sound, and I'll explain that in a second, because it requires something outside of ourselves, being God Himself coming to live within us to change us, that we may be able to love others as He would love them. 1 John chapter 4, verses 11 says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. We recognize that there is a positional love as a family member and also an experiential love. There are going to be some people in this room, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, but some of you are not like me, and we don't have some of the same affinity things. We don't like all the same things. That's normal in life. You tend to hang out with people who are more like you. That's normal in life. But that alone cannot be the defining moment or the defining factor of our love. We are to love the brethren no matter what. Doesn't matter the skin color, doesn't matter the nationality, doesn't matter the educational background. What we are to do with the body of Christ is to love them because we are commanded to love them.
Amen.
That can only happen when God comes in and changes our heart. But now there's an experiential side to that. in the world, or not the world, but a wonderful way of saying that is time. Time spent together. The more time you spend with someone, the deeper you will love them. Because you're rubbing elbows together, doing things together. That's natural. Now, we could say, but God's love is agape, it's unconditional. Yes, but there's also a relational side to that. If we don't come together as the body more than on Sunday morning, we're going to have an agape, but yet superficial love for each other.
Amen.
Our fellowship times are important so that we can get to know each other deeper. The times we serve the King of Kings, going out doing ministry, is an opportunity to get to know each other deeper. These are opportunities for us to grow in a deeper relationship, and in that relationship, love grows. There's the foundational positional love, but there's an experiential love. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Amen. Colossians 3:14. If you'll turn there, and then I'm going to need four ladies to volunteer this morning for an illustration. I will instruct you. It'll be very simple. I will not embarrass you intentionally. Colossians 3:14 says this, "And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity." Amen. If we truly love one another, a lot of other things just aren't going to matter.
Amen.
We can overcome the differences because love rules. Now, if I can have four ladies, please volunteer. Don't make me pick you. You know, the automatic volunteering. I have five. Five words. Come on. Okay. Anita, I'm going to put you in the center. I need y'all to make a circle around her and turn your back to her. You've seen this in the movies if you watch many movies. This is not love. So often in the church, we'll find times where people do something wrong and this is what the church will do to them. How dare the church? Sometimes they'll turn around and face the person. Now point at her. Sometimes the church will do this. The world does it all the time. Sometimes the church does this. How dare the church? You know what the church should do when someone's going through a trial or tribulation? Give her a hug. Thank you. Already initiated. This person has hope because someone cares. The world knows how to judge. The church should be leading the judgment to God. Yes, we don't condone sin, but we got to learn how to walk with people to help them come out of that sin. If you leave them on their own, they're going to stay in that sin. They're going to feel like the world doesn't love them. God doesn't love them. Y'all may be seated. God doesn't love them when that's not true. The church has to learn to express love. And sometimes that means getting involved in people's lives. Sometimes that's messy.
Yes.
Sometimes the person may not even appreciate it today. But you do it anyway. Because it's the right thing to do. Love means being involved. And we'll see a couple more illustrations that touch on this. The next one we see is encouraging one another. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians 5:11. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says this, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." I love that in Scripture. The church is not supposed to turn on itself and eat each other up. We're not supposed to be piranhas looking for a kill or chewing ourselves up. We are to encourage and build each other up. We are to be the example to the world of what love is and how to care one for another. We are to be the example of that love of Jesus flowing through us to one another and to them. I've asked Roger to participate in this next illustration. As he comes forward and has a seat, the scripture is translated into English. The word actually is translated to urge, beg, encourage, plead, and comforted, or plead with or comfort. You will find at times, now Roger's fallen. This is almost going to sound like the love principle, but this is how to encourage someone. I'm going to show you how not to do it to start with. What are you doing on the floor? What is wrong with you? You just need to suck it up and get over it, man. You need to get up and take care of things. Have you ever had someone love you that way? Didn't feel like love, did it? Didn't sound like love either, does it? Then we have people who do this. Man, I'm praying for you, brother. I hope you can get off that floor. I mean, if you need anything, give someone else a call and they'll come and help you. This is encouraging, building one another up. Come on, brother. How can I help you? What do you need?
Everything.
Anybody got some help for him? That's a little more than I can provide. Building each other up cannot be done from afar. You got to connect with people. You got to get involved in their lives. You can't talk down to them, because I know this about each one of us. If we were there the day that they were going to stone the adulterous woman and Jesus said, "Ye without sin, throw the first stone," none of us could throw that stone. But we can show the love of Christ. Help the person out of the pit. Yes, it takes effort. But you see, that's where that me-ism has to turn around. We can't be just about ourselves. We've got to be about one another. And do you get what I'm saying? Do you hear me? We do really well at this. I'm not condemning us at all here. But when a body is really reaching out and helping one another, people want to be a part of that. Once they figure out it's real and not some kind of some fake thing going on. And they'll learn quickly whether it's real or not. We'll know whether it's real or not. You've seen people who love you with a fake love. They're there as long as the good stuff keeps rolling. And then they're gone as soon as the bad hits. Number 17, build one another up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Again, we're looking here where it says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up." We get two principles in this one verse. It means to build, to be a house builder, to construct. If you'll turn with me to Matthew 7, you'll see a principle there unfold that ties in with this. Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27. Jesus speaking here says the following, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock." Who is the rock?
Jesus.
Amen. "But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. And the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew it and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." We are to be helping one another in the foundation laying and life building in Christ. Again, this principle goes both ways. We should be pouring out from ourselves into other people's lives, and other people ought to be pouring into our lives.
Amen.
That is life in the church when it's operating like the body of Christ. Now, I have an illustration. I need Kevin, John, and Brad. When we think about this building and helping each other to build each other up, I need y'all to stand this way facing out. Brad, you're in the middle. Put your hands straight out, Brad. Okay. Brad, what I want you to do at this moment, without moving your feet, without moving your hands, stop me from moving you. He failed. Let me down, dude.
Sorry, I'm not that tough.
Okay. Well, these guys are standing around. They didn't do anything. They let me take advantage of it. What's up with that? Okay. Put your arms back out. Put your hands away. They work. No, the same way. No. Okay. Y'all going to help me? All right. Okay. Let's see. They failed him again. Why? Let's try it one more time. Put your arms out. What's the difference? The body of Christ came around someone who needed help. By himself, he's easy prey. Easily moved. Maybe not Brad himself, but an individual. People are going through tough times. There are a lot of people in this world that are hurting right now who do know Jesus. Many who don't. But there are people who know Jesus that are hurting, wanting someone not to say, you know, "Hope you can make it," or "I'll touch you from afar," but it'll say, "I'll come alongside you and help you. I will be there for you, and we together, with Christ as our guide and strength, will see to it you do not fall." Amen?
Amen.
That's life in the body, when the body is being what God has called it to be. Number 18, live in peace with one another. 1 Thessalonians 5 again, this time verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 13. The Bible says the following. Hold them in the highest regard, in love because of the work. Live in peace with one another. In this verse, the literal meaning is to live in peace. There's no deeper meaning. Simply live in peace. And it goes back to that statement, what really matters? I know of churches, and this is tragic. This split, and then you're going to think, oh, you're making this up. I'm not. They split over the color of the carpeting for the same church. I don't get it. God created all the colors. Do you think He cares what color the carpet is? He cares about your heart and how your heart relates to one another. Amen? There are so many things that just don't matter. Living in peace means I don't have to have my way. I will stand true to God's word. That I don't compromise. But I don't have to have my way. One of the hot topics in churches today is music, the style. Personally, if the lyrics are right, God loves all music. He's honored by the heart that is worshiping. The words are important, but the heart is the key. And we sung about that this morning. Coming back to the heart of worship. Living in peace means God's glory is more important than my way. It's not my glory. It's not my importance. It's God's. And there are times that we have to say, you know what? It's okay. I don't have to do this. You're right. We can do it this way. Because God is glorified. Number 19. Spur one another to good works. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Says the following. Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. The encouragement here is similar to encouraging and building one another up. Again, not a deeper meaning. I care enough about you, you care enough about me, each other, that we want to see each of us succeed. We want to see each of us grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. A true teacher, and this is going to be more my opinion, maybe I could support it in Scripture, but this is a true teacher desires their student to surpass them.
Amen.
To surpass them. We should be excited when we hear the testimonies of what God is doing through others in our country. Be excited that we as a body are a part of that as we pray one for another, which is one of our one for another principles coming up. We should be excited when we hear on Sunday mornings about what God is doing around the world through the missionaries that we support.
Amen.
Because we are involved through financial and prayer giving support to them. The next one is confess your sins to one another. From James chapter 5. This is a tough one. James chapter 5 verse 16 says the following. It says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. We are to confess our sins one to another. Now what I will tell you is this. If this was a perfect world and we were in a perfect body and everybody here was fully sanctified, holy, righteous, and walking in the Lord in perfection, first of all, there'd be no confession to give. But if there were a confession to give, you would stand up and be able to give it on a Sunday morning, and your brothers would, like in the illustration with the women, come around you, love you, and help you through it. We don't live in that world. Partly because some people who come into a church are not believers. And they know they're not. Some people come into a church who think they're a believer and are not. And then there are those who are believers who don't always act like believers. And then there are those who aren't really believers who act like believers. A lot of qualifications. But my point is, You can't just get up on a Sunday morning and say, brothers, I got a sin I want to share. I wished we were that way. But what we do is we share with those whom we trust. You need to have someone in your life whom you trust.
Amen.
That you can go to and say, I am in this trouble. It is gnawing at me. I can't overcome it. I need your help. Pray for me. And you need that person not to be like the one who yelled at Roger on the floor, but the one that will reach out and say, man, I'm going to walk with you through this trial. But that person usually isn't going to be the person you just met on Sunday morning. It's the person you spent time in, one of these previous principles, who you developed that deeper relationship with, whom you now have trust in, who you know will walk with you. Amen?
Amen.
We need those people in our lives. I would hope and trust that, you know, some of you are newer, some are older in relation to your time here at NLCC. I would hope that I, as your pastor and our leadership team, would be those kind of people that you could trust to come to and say, hey, I need help. I can't go into details, but I'll tell you this much. It's happened more than once in my ministry. People have come to me with trials and tribulations. I'm going to tell you up front right now, I'm not going to throw you out of church. The church isn't going to eat you up. The church as a whole may not know your story, may not need to know your story. Now, it almost sounds like and I don't mean it this way. I want you to understand, we will love you and walk with you through that trial. Don't carry the burden yourself.
Amen.
This is where you need to be when you're going through trials. That's why I say that the church is a hospital for healing and encouragement and building up. We need to be that kind of church to one another. I'm just curious at this point. Some of you weren't here last week, so you're only hearing half the message. Do you want to be a part of a church that operates in this realm that I've been speaking?
Amen.
Am I being kind of foolish thinking that that's possible? No, it's not. Will we be perfect? No. But we can be biblical. Showing the love and the goodness of God one to another. The next one is 21, as we get near closure. Pray for one another. Literally, verse 16 again tells us that. Talks about healing. There are many ways people need to be healed. Physically, spiritually, and emotionally. It's not just a physical healing here we're talking about. There are people who become depressed who need us to pray for them. Now, I wish I could tell you that every time we pray, God heals instantaneously. I know He doesn't. But what I do know is He hears us every time we pray. And He responds to that prayer. And the verse does put a qualification on there that we really don't like. Prayer of a righteous man. Of course, it means women. Prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In other words, you got to go back to that confessing thing. Before I can pray for your healing, physically, spiritually, or whatever, I need to be dealing with myself before God. Am I a cleansed vessel that you can work through? Do I have issues that need to be taken care of first? I'll share something you don't know. And again, it sounds like one of these. Now, quit saying it sounds like one of these days. Huh?
You're leaving me out, right?
That's my wife, for those of you that are newer. Every time we believe in the CNMA to anoint and pray for the sick. Before I anoint and pray for the sick, I ask God to cleanse me, to make me be a usable vessel. If there's anything in my life, Lord, I want it taken care of, I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me. Let me not be a pipe that is plugged. Sounds kind of disrespectful this way, but you get the illustration. But one that He can work through.
Yes. Amen.
We need to take time to do that for each other. We also have opportunities to pray. We pray on Sunday morning. We pray in our Sunday school. Our Tuesday night has a prayer time. We have our once-a-month meeting at the Boyles where we pray for outreach that we may be able to reach the city for the glory of God, that people will come to know Jesus, they may experience His love, forgiveness. Praise God. The last one, be hospitable to one another, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. chapter 4, verse 9 says this: offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Oh, I love that last part. You can stay at my house. Oh, I wish I ended it. No, I'm kidding. It literally means, that word means fond of guest. Literally want people to come. You want people around you. You want them to know they're welcome, that they're loved, that you are willing to give of yourself to them, and that they are willing to give of themselves to you. That is how the body operates. One is walking in Christ likeness. When we experience the love of Christ and the love of the body for each other, we tend to be more open to one another and desiring each other's company. Does that make sense? I pray and I hope that the 22 principles, the one another principles that are listed in last week and this week's message will be operable in this body. That God may be glorified, yes, and Gainesville and the world may be reached through this ministry that God is pulling together. Amen.
Amen?
Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, and we recognize, Lord Jesus, that you love us so much, that you died for us. Lord, you love us so much that you have offered us salvation for those of us who have partaken accepted the offer and have been saved. We thank you, Lord, that we now know we have life in Christ. And you have given us these principles that we may know how the body, including us, should operate in that life as we live for you. Lord, help us as a body here at NLCC to be all that you would want us to be, to make a difference in your kingdom, for your kingdom, and for your glory. We love you, Lord. We can't do it in our own strength. We ask that you would empower us by your Holy Spirit to be all these things.